in the Lord, for this is right. Paul didn't spend a lot of time trying to convince us, like, to sit our children down and plea bargain and reason. He didn't spend any time doing that. Now, in the previous chapter, the fifth chapter, he starts out there and he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And he goes out and lays out a pretty lengthy argument and compares the marriage between Christ and his church. Paul knew to make a statement like that, he better lay some groundwork with it. Anytime you say, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands," he knew he better lay some proof in behind it. I got tickled. We went down to a wedding, and it was my wife's cousin got married, and these vows, I'll tell you right now, that was the longest set of vows I'd ever heard in my life. But one thing about it, it was the most scriptural set of vows I've ever heard. And even her uncle made the statement that these vows came from vows that were used in the early or late 1700s. And I mean, they were lengthy. I didn't think either one of them would ever get through repeating after the preacher. But they were scriptural. But then what tickled me was that it talked about the wife submitting to her own husband as the church submits herself unto her husband, Jesus Christ. And they never heard anything like that. Oh, and it kind of ruffled them, I think. But the point is, my friends, anytime you talk about wives submitting to your own husbands, Paul knew he better lay an argument in behind it. But he gets down here and where he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." The only reason he gives for this, for it is right. He didn't read Dr. Spott's book where you sit down and reason with him. He said the only reason that you ought to do this is because it is right. Children, I say this to Taylor. There are but two reasons why you ought to obey your parents in the Lord. And there's only two reasons. One is because God commanded it. You go read when the Ten Commandments were given. It was because God had commanded it. That's the first and best reason I know of. If He commanded it, then we ought to do it. The second reason that I know of that you need to honor your mother and your father. He says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise. This is the promise. "That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." That's the reason. Because God commanded it, and that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And then it goes on down. See, it's not a one-sided story. Paul then comes back to the fathers. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What does that mean? The father is in God's scheme of things. He's the head of that family. Not only is he the head of that family, but physically speaking, he has the ability to do so simply by sheer power. A father can misuse that and provoke his children to wrath. I'll give you an example. And notice here, and I don't want you to think here for a minute, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That also means spanking if you have to. And I'll get to that before I close here in just a second. You want some biblical authority. I have to get on to Laura once in a while. She's got a long line. Sometimes the children just run on that line. And I have to get on to her. You know, put your foot down. Draw the line in the sand. Do what you got to do. And when that line's crossed, do what you have to do. I told you I was going to give you an example. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I had a cousin on my mama's side. His father told him not to do something. I was there playing with him. I'd spent the night with him. His father had told him not to do something. He did it. He deserved to get the spanking. But his father spanked him in such a way that it was no longer a spanking, but it was a beating. And after he got through, his son said this. He said, "I hate that man." See, there, he did it in such a way that it overrode any lesson that was to be learned from the spanking. And it provoked his child to wrath. If his child had been old enough and big enough at that point in time, he'd have probably done something very seriously wrong. That's the wrong way to go about it. The Bible has never, ever condoned child abuse. There's a difference between spanking and abusing a child. You say, "Well, does the Bible teach that we are to spank?" Oh, yes, it does. You say, "Well, why?" Because you realize, even though we're not spanked with a belt, maybe, or a switch, or a fly swatter, or a rip-rack paddle, I've had them all. By God, He refers to His correction of us as chastisement, or with stripes. Go over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, 12th chapter of Hebrews. We live in a day and age when, I mean, I have lived with and met people who said that we don't tell our children no. We live in such a negative world, we don't want them to hear the word no. Well, I've got some news for you. I don't want your children in my house. Now that's just the way, that's just plain. If you know somebody that doesn't tell their children no, and tell me and be honest, do you want them in your house? I don't want them in mine. I've never met one yet that has told me we don't spank our children. Well, you don't have to tell me. I've already sized that up. If I've been around them any at all, you don't have to tell somebody that you don't spank your children. But let me tell you something, my friends. Even as God's children, you're going to be spanked if you're one of His. Not necessarily like a spanking with a belt or a rod, but it is going to be some type of correction. That is the pattern. I told you, there's Christ, the head, then there's the husband, then there's the wife, and the children. That is God's order for that family, or for the entire universe, the government itself, God the Father, Christ, the head of the family, the father, the mother, and the children. That is the means that God has set up and ordained. But you go to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, listen to what he says here. He says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Somebody say, "Oh, that preacher's cussing." That is a biblical word. It's a legal term also. What is it saying? If you can go out here and do all the things of this world and not have any kind of conscience or not receive any kind of retribution in here, then you are a bastard and not a son. But if you're one of God's children, my friends, and you go out here and do something, I dare say you're not going to be happy about it. I want to notice something else over here. God says anybody that's His and does wrong is going to be chastened for it. If they're not, then they're a bastard and not a son. Parents that say that we don't discipline our children, what are they saying? They're treating him like what? They're treating him like a bastard and not a child. That's hard language, isn't it? That's hard language. That's the truth. We go over here to Proverbs, and just to show you that the Bible is not silent about this subject. You go to the 13th chapter of Proverbs in the 24th verse. It says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." What does that mean? I don't believe any of us here misunderstood that. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. They'll say, well, that's like that verse, spare the rod and spoil the child. That is not a biblical verse. It means about the same thing, but it is not in the Bible. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You know what that means? That means more than once in a blue moon. I know that my dad loved me good because he chastened me. He loved me very well. I love my children. But you know, here's the point of that. You say, well, why do you do that? Children sometimes think that their parents are... I remember thinking, it doesn't, you know, parents used to say, it hurts me more than it hurts you. That is the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth. I discipline my children because I want others to love him as humanly close to possible as much as I do. I grew up with cousins. I grew up with friends that very rarely received a spanking. And they talked to their parents in such a way they made my chill run in the back of my neck. And you know what? Whenever they came over, a lot of times, there was children in the group that dreaded seeing them come. Not to mention the parents. I don't want that. You go to these old Baptist homes and start staying with them, and they'll tell you about some preachers that brought their children and say, I'll tell you right now, that preacher can come back, but I don't want him to bring his family with him. That is a shame and a disgrace. For if he ruleth not well his own house, how should he be expected to rule well the household of God? You go read the qualifications of a minister. One of the qualifications was that he ruleth well his own household. But I would want, if I told Brother Phil, I said, Brother Phil, we're coming down from Richmond next week and wonder if we could stop by and see you. I wouldn't want Doc to have to go through the house and start picking everything up, raise it up above my children's head level. Oh no, I dread seeing them come. That would be an utter shame and embarrassment for me. And see, the point is you would dread seeing my children come. That's not what I want. I love my children enough that I want others to be able to love them also. People say, we don't tell our child no. Well, let me tell you what happens. You send that child to school, and there's a teacher telling it to sit down and shut up, and telling it no, and it doesn't know what the word means. And then you take it to the principal. It doesn't know what no means. And I say it because it acts like a little it. And next thing you know, there's going to come a point in time in everybody's life when they're going to have to hear no. Whether you're trying to get a job, whether you work for somebody else, you better understand what no means. You go read God's Word. Go read the Ten Commandments. And a large portion of that is based on the word no. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's based on the word no. I told you, when they're not getting that word instilled good at home, when there's no respect for dad at home, because dad won't take his place as the head of that family. And here's something about that, friends. If dad ain't willing to take it, a lot of times somebody's going to have to. And so who's it going to be? It's going to be mom. I want to get a couple more verses here and I'll sit down. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Correct thy son in the 29th book of Proverbs. Correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I've seen that in action. One of the best friends you'll ever have is after a child after you've had to get on to it. I've seen that and I've proved that. I know that verse is true. I know it from my own lifetime. And that's another important part about discipline. It's once we have administered discipline in a godly way, it ought to hurt us to do that. But after it's through, we need to reaffirm that we still love them. Then it's effective. And they love, it's nothing I've loved any more than to have my own sons come up and fall on my lap after I've had to get right with them. Being a parent is not easy, especially in this day and age. It's not easy. It takes guts. We were talking here in Richmond. And first day we were there. And I don't know what to think about us. I really don't care. They're our neighbors. And I was talking and said something about, well, my child, I'm having a hard time. We need to find something. And Laura spoke up. She said, well, I broke myself a switch. And it was like it was some new revelation. Only problem I can get with Laura is she can break a switch. It's just a matter of using it once in a while. If I can get her to that next step, I think we'll be all right. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. He shall give the life to thy soul. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Withhold not correction from the child. This is in the 23rd chapter. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You say, what does that mean? Are you going to deliver him from a literal hell? No. But you ever seen a child whenever they're in a state, whenever they're not satisfied with anything? That's a hell. Not only that, by giving them correction, you deliver them from a lot of pitfalls later on. I love my children enough to want to deliver them from those things. And they're going to be looking for limits. And either you're going to give it to them or somebody else is going to give it to them. And they're looking for truth. And I'll make this one point and sit down. And this is where our society is just, you hear it all the time. And I've heard it in my house. I've said it. If I told my children after the service that we're going to go get ice cream. If I told them we were going to go get ice cream and the service let out and it was within my power to do it, how many here would say you ought to take them to get ice cream? Every last one of us. That's easy. You say, well, why? Why should you do that? Because to let them know that my word is worth something. If I tell them we're going to go see their grandparents after church and we're able to do it and they're looking forward to it, you say, well, I'm going to take them over there because I told them I would. My word means something. If I told my boy, Taylor, I was going to do something for him, if it's within my power to do it, I'm going to do it because I want my word to be worth something to that son of mine. Now, on the other hand, if you don't get in this car, I'm going to spank you. Kid keeps running around. If you don't get in this car, I'm going to spank you. Kid keeps running around. If you don't get in this car, I'm going to tell your daddy. Kid keeps running around. You know what? Your word's not worth anything. It's easy for our word to mean something when it's for something good. But when it's for something that's difficult, it needs to mean the same. One of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not lie. You tell them you're going to get ice cream, get ice cream. You tell them they're going to get their britches heated up if they don't get in the car, heat them up. That sure isn't the worldly way of child rearing. I understand that. But you realize you're the same way. And God told on several occasions, He only told them one time. How many times did you read that he told Adam and Eve not to eat of that garden? All right, not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You'll find he only said it one time. What happened? They ate of it. They died. They didn't start to die just right there, but corporal death set in on them at that point. And not only that, the relationship that he had with Adam, what Adam had with God, also died at that point. Adam realized that he was naked. God told him that one time. He disobeyed it, and that's what happened. God told Moses to speak to the rock the second time. He told him to strike it the first time, and water came out of the rock. God told Moses the second time, said, this time I want you to speak to the rock. He only told Moses that one time. He said, this time I want you to speak to the rock, that it'll bring forth water. Guess what Moses did? He smote the rock. And because of that, God allowed him, Moses led these people in the wilderness for 40 years to get them to the land of Canaan. And guess what? Because he had disobeyed God on that one time, Moses was never allowed to go into that land. He was only allowed to look over into it. Point being, God only told his children something one time. That ought to be enough. We tell our children something one time, it ought to be enough. Why? Because our word means something. And you, as God's children, if God has told us to do something, we ought to do it. Or else, he's going to deal with us as children. And you can listen, I'll close. Brother Phil, I told you I'd quit this, but I'm not going to quit yet. not today. You'll have a month to forget about it, but I will close about with this here, okay? I do promise that. You go to the Psalms, some of the most beautiful language about the covenant of God. He says this here. He says, my mercy. He's talking about the higher, greater David. He says, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. That was God giving a picture of his covenant with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point of that was, if they transgress my law, I'm going to visit them with a rod of correction. And if they don't keep my commandments, then I will indeed visit their iniquities with stripes. That's the pattern. God set the pattern. It's the way we ought to do it. May God bless you and keep you, my friend. Sorry I went over. But you see, in the third chapter of Isaiah, the ones responsible for leading the children into error was the leaders over them. And these things, if they'd been preached from the pulpit a whole lot more, I would dare say, this nation would be in some of the mess that it's in. So I hope, and if you say, well, my children are grown, just remember, your days are not over. Lead by example. And honor thy mother and thy father. And I believe that also means my grandfather and grandmother. I believe you've done it. I think it's right. That's what Paul said. He said, do it because this is right. Let's stand and sing a song. Stand in the right hand of fellowship. I'd like to publish the door open for reception members. There'll be one or more here, like a home of this church. And you have the right to let your desires be known while we're here. We want to indeed give the right hand of fellowship. And sing a song. And what shall we sing? Two verses of How Firm a Foundation. That's
a few, I
said. Oh, a few, okay.
What page? 124.
Page 124. How firm a foundation.
Salvation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said?
Deserve to his own.